Call your attention this morning to the book of Psalms, third Psalm, chapter 3, Psalm chapter 3, 8 verses. We'll read the whole Psalm. Psalm chapter 3, verse 1. It says in the beginning, before the Psalm, it says the context is a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. If you have read your Old Testament, then you are familiar with, or maybe you've heard sermons about, the account of David and his eldest son, Absalom. Many instructions we can learn from that situation. And we even have a song in our hymnal about David and the song that he wrote of weeping and sorrow when his son Absalom died. His son Absalom was very rebellious and did some very wicked things and wanted to take over really the kingdom while David was still alive. And even when David had to flee for his life at the end of that time, where David was running for his life from his eldest son Absalom, in the end David asked his soldiers and those that were fighting for him to go easy on Absalom, to protect him, to spare his life. And they wound up taking matters into their own hand, and they slew Absalom. And David, when he found that out, he wept, and he was very sore grieved, and he cried even in front of the people. And they told him, they said, if you don't go out there and comfort those people that fought for you today and encourage them, then they're going to all leave you, and you're going to be all alone. So David wrote this psalm while he was fleeing from his very own son, Absalom. He says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? David was a man after God's own heart. He was a godly king. He was not a perfect man. And yet even King David says that they've increased that trouble me. David had many, many enemies. And beloved, I want you to understand that when you are the friend of God, when you serve God, when you follow after God, don't expect to be universally accepted. Don't expect to be perhaps abundantly popular. Think back to David's situation. Think back to the Lord's situation. There were times in Jesus' ministry when he was very popular, and when there were those that crowded around him so that he could barely move as he progressed through the city, because they knew that if they could have a miracle from Jesus, they would be healed, they would have some deliverance in their life. He was very popular. But then within almost the same week, in the last week of his earthly ministry, he went from the crowds lining the roadway and saying, Hosanna to God in the highest, the Messiah's come, as he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey's back, to in the end of the week, the people, very same people, crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Away with such a man, he's not fit that he should live. David here, he says, they are increased that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. And he certainly had in mind even his own flesh and blood, his eldest son Absalom, that he dearly loved, wanted to take his life. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. The word Selah simply means pause, reflect. Think for a moment before you go on with what he's written and consider what he's had to say. He wants you to think about it even more than you would normally about what he said here. There are those that say there's no help for him in God. There are those that look at King David's situation. They say he's in such a pitiful state that God can't even help him. There's not even any help for God, from God, for this man. There's no help for him in God. Jesus Christ, you remember, cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God did indeed forsake his son so that you and I can say, Lord will never leave me or forsake me, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. But there are times when we feel in our own lives, as David did, that we're even forsaken by God. God hasn't forsaken you. God hasn't left you. But you may feel in your soul, and those around you may say, there's just no help for you even in God. Selah. But here's the truth. There are many lies. There are many deceptions that you'll face in your life and in your own mind and thinking. But you must counter the errors and the lies and the heresy with the truth of God's word. David says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. May not always be able to tell where God's at or what God's doing, but you can rest your soul upon this truth. God is your shield. What is a shield? It's the piece of armor that the soldier uses to deflect the arrows, the assaults of the enemy, the sword that would sever limb and life. That shield which protects us from the assaults of Satan. God is our shield for my glory and the lifter up of mine head. He not only protects us, but He is our glory. He's the one that lifts us up when we're cast down and discouraged and ready to pitch in the towel and give up. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill, Selah. There He is again. He says, I want you to pause and think about that. Pause and think about what the people are saying. There's no help for him in God. Now pause and think about this, that I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me. That God who is in His holy hill in Zion, God who is in the heaven, the third heaven, God who is reigning and ruling over the kingdoms of men and in all the universe, doing according to His good pleasure, God who's surrounded by the holy angels who cease not crying, holy, 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 we can cry out to Him with our voice and He hears us. He heard me out of His holy hill. God condescends to hear our prayers. God listens to our prayers, even the utterances of our heart. You may not have words for the sorrow, for the grief, for the emotion that you feel, but even that, the Holy Spirit's able to take and to bring our petitions before God, the ones that we can't verbally utter. God even hears those prayers and understands those prayers, and by the Holy Spirit, they're prayed according to the will of God. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. He hears you. And it's not just hearing where He says, oh yeah, there goes so-and-so complaining again. No, it's a hearing that has a concern and a desire for our welfare. He says, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. The children of God can sleep in peace, even in the midst of trials and difficulties, because God is the one that gives us sleep, and God's the one that sustains us and that protects us even through the night. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Fear is something that we all have to contend with on a daily basis. And when God strengthens our faith in His Word, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you hear God's Word, when you hear God's promises, your faith is strengthened. You're reminded about the sovereignty of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the holiness of God, the mercy of God. You're reminded about the promises that God's given to you in Jesus Christ. David says, because of who God is and because of my relationship to Him, by His grace, by His mercy, it is well with my soul because Jesus paid for my sins. He says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. We've been reading in the book of Acts with our family, and we found out an account about how the Apostle Paul, his life was in danger. See, there were 40 men that hated him so much that they said, they agreed together that let's make a promise, let's swear before heaven, let's make an oath that we will not eat, we will not drink anything until we kill the Apostle Paul. Now, that's a bad state to be in. If you're a man and 40 people have said, I'm not going to eat or drink anything until I kill you, your life is in danger. The Apostle Paul was in prison, and they were going to transfer him out of the city from Jerusalem, I believe, to Caesarea. And the guard that was responsible for the Apostle Paul's life, I can't remember exactly how many it was. I think it was 260 soldiers. He appointed a certain number of men, armed men, to protect the Apostle Paul, to be around him like in a circle. I think it was 240 men. Some were on horses, some with spears, others were just regular foot soldiers. And these men were responsible for protecting one man's life because his life was in great danger with these 40, after several days, hungry and very thirsty men who knew that they had to kill this man if they wanted to keep their vow and not eat or drink anything until he was dead. Now, there was another man named Elijah. Elijah was surrounded by the army of a worldly king, and his servant was fearful and afraid, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes. And when the servant's eyes were opened, he saw that around the men the army, the natural army that was surrounding their house. There was an even greater, larger army, the army of God. God's own angels and host, the host of heaven, were encamped around the house of Elijah. David says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. David's declaring for us his great confidence and his great belief in the power and in the sovereignty of God and God's ability to deliver him and to protect him, even from 10,000s of people. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Speaking of the judgment of God upon his enemies, upon the enemies of his people. Remember with the Apostle Paul, when Jesus Christ reproved the Apostle Paul, he said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Well, what was Paul doing? He was persecuting the people of God. So God takes it personally when his children are being persecuted. God says, it's like you're doing it to me. So David says, judge for your namesake the wicked, the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. David may have been in a cave. He may have been outwardly fleeing for his life. But because of God's grace, because of God's power, David was able to worship God in the midst of that affliction and say, salvation belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Outwardly, it may appear like you have been forsaken by God and there's 10,000 people that want to take your life. But David says, it doesn't matter how the outward circumstances appear. The truth is, whatever happens, God's blessing is upon you. God's blessing is upon you in Jesus Christ. He's chosen you before the foundation of the world that you should be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. May God bless you.